How much money do you lose every time you miss a customer call? With a Buzz CRM, you never have to worry about that again. Their system automatically texts missed calls and engages leads instantly using conversational AI. It turns your missed opportunities into booked appointments automatically. It's a complete game changer for local businesses. Secure your access today for a massive discount at thebuzzcrm.com. That's thebuzzcrm.com. How much money do you lose every time you miss a customer call? With a Buzz CRM, you never have to worry about that again. Their system automatically texts missed calls and engages leads instantly using conversational AI. It turns your missed opportunities into booked appointments automatically. It's a complete game changer for local businesses. Secure your access today for a massive discount at thebuzzcrm.com. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
You should be saving for the future, but savings accounts suck, and investing can be scary. We combine the ease of savings with the real returns of investing. We call it Savevesting, and it's only available in our new app, Stairs. Stairs offers 4 to 6% returns, no fees, and you can withdraw anytime. Do your future a favor. Visit StairsApp.com today.
Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. Is now in session.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm, episode number 399. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is John Carcutt, the director of SEO for Advanced Local. Today, we have a special guest for you. We are interviewing Stefan Spencer, co-author of The Art of SEO, author of Google Power Search, founder of Net Concepts, and a business coach whom I actually have had the luck of working with. Welcome, Stefan. How are you doing today?
Hey, that's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. You know, we've had you on before, and they've always been great episodes and some of our best downloads, in fact. So it's great to have you back. And Johnny's
so I'm competing against myself then. Is that what you're saying?
You are. You and John Mueller.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Bring it on.
Oh, and nice.
Even John's on today. It's a shock.
John's here. Yeah. John finally had an open window to jump in on the show again. It's been very busy.
Well, I'm glad everyone
can. But I wasn't going to miss talking to Stefan, so.
Oh, you said it. You said it, Stefan.
Oh, I said it, didn't I? Oh, man.
We can let you say it again. Try it again.
Yes, I'm not going to miss having a chance to talk with Stefan.
Oh, thank you. Nailed it that time.
Good for you. So Stefan, we've known each other a long time, but you know, you've been at SEO since mid late 90s, as we have, and I think maybe before us. So tell us a little bit about how much things have changed. It's been quite a journey for you.
Oh, it has. It's been a journey for all of us, but I went on this wild ride that wasn't just an internet business journey. It was a personal transformation journey too. I'll get to that in a minute, but from an internet marketing perspective, things have changed a lot. I remember using Web Position Gold and thinking, wow, this is really stupid. Having to make a separate version for every one of these search engines of the same page of content just feels really icky to me and wasteful and stupid. And I just did not like doing that and didn't do much of it because I hated it so much. And thankfully that was something that just got became irrelevant when Google came along, when Backrub came along, which then became Google. Can you believe that was the name of Google before?
Well, wow. College kids in their dorm room, they're going to name things funny names, you know?
Yeah. So I just fell in love with Google and wanted to figure out how to reverse engineer it. And at the time, we were building e-commerce websites as the primary business, but baking SEO into those websites became a mission of ours, and for me in particular. And then I realized that there are a lot of other kinds of websites out there and bigger businesses who would never hire a small agency to build an e-commerce site for them because maybe it's a huge brand like Target.com or something. So we wanted to offer audits and standalone SEO consultancy services beyond just baking it into an e-commerce website build. And that was back in 2000 or so, 2001. And we've been, it's been a long road. And there have been a lot of Google updates, and it's not about chasing after the latest update. It's like driving a car using only the rear view mirror, if that's the case, you know. And you want to think forward to the future of future proofing your business and your online business, your website. And so that would involve things like AI and scalable strategies. Things, of course, need to be pearly white hat, not just pretty white hat. It needs to be, you know, super, super white, and stuff that you're comfortable sharing with Google engineers and saying, here's what I'm doing. If there's anything you're at all not comfortable with, you should reevaluate. It's not something you are happy to show off to a Google engineer or be happy for your competitor to discover when they're reverse engineering what you're up to in terms of SEO, then yeah, you should reevaluate it.
You've mentioned reverse engineering a lot in the first couple minutes of this. How big a part of your career has reverse engineering been? It sounds like it's a big chunk of it.
Yeah. So I figured out at a pretty early stage in my business career that I could not just reverse engineer Google's algorithm, but kind of put a middleware layer between my client's website and the greater internet. And thus I could kind of search and replace real time things that were not search engine optimized on the core website, but I would like to search engine optimize it and serve it up to and needed a proxy kind of middleware layer in order to do that. Because if I were to do that on the, let's say Blue Martini, if you remember that platform install, it would take many months and maybe $1 million to implement the SEO changes that I wanted to see on the live site. And so I invented a proxy, reverse proxy technology back in 2003, called it Gravity Stream. And that actually became the majority revenue producing component or part of the agency. And it was a big reason why I was able to sell the agency in 2010. It's because that was, like I said, the majority of the revenue, it was performance-based pricing. We had a client, for example, Zappos. We charged seven figures in pay for performance spend in a year's time because we were generating that much value for them. We charged on a cost per click basis, 15 cents a click. So everybody wanted to sign up because who doesn't want pay for performance? If you don't get the performance, you don't get the value, you don't pay for it.
So if we bring that back down to kind of our core audience, which is really people that are just learning about SEO, just trying to understand how to get better at SEO, what can they do at their level and what kind of things would make sense for them to try to reverse engineer without these big multi-million dollar tools. Is there something they can do as new people to really help them?
Totally.
Leverage it.
Yeah, totally. I'll give you just off the cuff some examples here. Just doing a simple Google search can help you to reverse engineer, let's say, what BuzzFeed is doing in order to get so many links and so much click-throughs. It's the hook and the headline. That's kind of their secret sauce. They pick really good images, and they write the articles well, and come up with great quizzes and all that as well. But really, it starts with the hook and then the headline. And if you want to reverse engineer what they're doing as inspiration to write your own viral content, link-worthy viral content, so that you can get links like they get, you might put in your topic plus site:buzzfeed.com in as a Google search and see what comes up as the articles and the headlines. If you want to get a little fancier with it, you could do in:, and then the topic. There's no space after the colon, by the way. So in:, plumbing, for example, if you're a plumber, and then site:buzzfeed.com. It's so simple, and yet you're R&Ding, essentially, ripping off and duplicating. But like I said, with using it as inspiration, not copy and paste. So let's actually do that. site:buzzfeed.com, and then in:, plumbing, or vice versa. It doesn't matter the order. You can do in:, first or site:, first. 7 expert plumbing tips to keep in mind this Thanksgiving. The race is on for plumbing at the push of a button. What was that one?
Plumbing and Thanksgiving. Interesting.
Yeah, that was kind of blowing me too. Like, wait a minute. The only plumbing I'm worried about is with Thanksgiving is the aftermath, but that's besides the point.
Oh, dear.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So anyways, you get the idea that you can find for whatever topic it is, unless it's super, super niche. Let's say you want to write about hurricanes, in:, hurricane, or in:, hurricanes, and then site:buzzfeed.com. BuzzFeed.com is my favorite kind of go-to place to reverse engineer what they're doing in terms of their hooks and headlines, but there's also Viral Nova, Distractify, Bored Panda, Upworthy, a lot of these viral sites that get tons and tons of traffic, and you just are looking for inspiration. First, you got to identify the topic, so whatever that keyword or entity is that you're going to chase after. Then you got to figure out what's the hook, what makes this so irresistible that somebody has to click to read this, right? You want to increase the tension that the reader has when they see that headline in, whether it's a Google search or it's in their Facebook news feed or in their Twitter or wherever else, they're seeing something that they feel compelled to click on because there's tension. There's a curiosity gap. And if they click, then that tension gets relieved. And it's like, okay, I get to relieve that tension. But you don't want to like just give it all away in the first paragraph of the article. You want to keep some tension going so that they'll continue and keep reading, go to the end of the article. Right. So
yeah,
and tension or timing, curiosity. Right? Yeah.
Timing is key as well. Like if there's news right now of a pending hurricane, perfect timing. Write something about that. And that's part of the reason these.
You should be saving for the future, but savings accounts suck, and investing can be scary. We combine the ease of savings with the real returns of investing. We call it Savevesting, and it's only available in our new app, Stairs. Stairs offers 4 to 6% returns, no fees, and you can withdraw anytime. Do your future a favor. Visit StairsApp.com today.
Yeah, although I'm a little reticent to go chase after stuff that's kind of newsworthy of the moment, because then it's ephemeral and it becomes obsolete very quickly. Something that was covered in CES in January is now no longer news of the moment. It only has traction for maybe a couple weeks after the show, and yeah, it's kind of lost its linkworthiness and buzzworthiness. So I like stuff that's more evergreen. I look for things like if I'm checking, let's say, doing that BuzzFeed search, or I'm using a tool called BuzzSumo to see what's kind of viral and hot in terms of buzzworthiness. I'm going to look for stuff that has kind of evergreen staying power, and and that's my recommendation. In fact, if you have something that you call a blog, you might even change the positioning of it and call it a learning center or an academy or a university or a training library or something, and restructure it so it's not just reverse chronological order, because stuff that's 2 months old, it just doesn't feel that compelling anymore versus the last month's or even the last week's content. And what if you wrote something 3 months ago that's the best piece of content that's on your site? It's, you know, you're kind of giving it a demotion by putting it in reverse chronological order and then having it on page two or three in the archives.
So the example I would have given when I was mentioning there was, you know, if there was a hurricane, you would write an article like this one from BuzzFeed, 22 pictures from the most destructive hurricanes in U.S. history. Not only does it work timely, but it also has evergreen style. I mean, this is the kind of thing people are typing in hurricanes. This is a good chance of getting links to it and also being a place that people can go back to on a regular basis. As is shown here, it's doing quite well. And they've also included a lot of locations in it, like Galveston hurricane. They've used terms category 4 storm, all these things that people tend to do searches for too. Something I've found is helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you want to kind of lighten the mood and not have something that's so destructive and deadly and depressing, because that's not super viral. It's like, oh yeah, I totally want to share something that's really sad. Yeah, I might find something like, I don't know, hurricane funny might be the phrase that, or the two keywords that you put in and see what comes up there. And I especially like using this for finding images to incorporate into the article. So after I figured out the topic, and then I figured out what the hook is, and then I figured out the headline and what kind of words go in that, like I look for really compelling or evocative or provocative adjectives and adverbs. All right. So 13 chillingly haunted hotels in New England or something might be an example where chillingly or chilling would be the spicy word there that really makes it much more of a compelling headline. Or which city should you actually live in? Take the quiz. Mm-hmm. Actually is the where that makes you want to click. If you don't have it, it's just not as spicy.
Can you talk a
which
second
city
about
should the, I live in? Take the quiz.
Yeah. Can you talk about the integration between targeting something from an SEO perspective and then applying these spicy adjectives and trying to make it more of a, and I hate to use this word, but it's kind of what you're describing, especially since you're using BuzzFeed, make it more clickbaity, right?
Yeah, I was afraid you were going to use that word, clickbait. The problem with the word clickbait is it kind of assumes that it's under-promising or over-promising and under-delivering, and I want to do the opposite. I want to under-promise and over-deliver. Right? Number six will totally blow your mind. Number six is like ho-hum.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't like clickbait because of that. but I do like articles that are remarkable. So I'm using Seth Godin's definition of remarkable to say that it's worthy of remark. In The Purple Cow by Seth Godin, he talks about how you drive down this country road and you see cows in the pastures and your family's in the car and everybody's just got their heads in their phone. Nobody pays attention. Nobody cares about all those cows. But a purple cow on the side of the road, stop the car. Everybody get out. Let's get photos, selfies, you know, videos. Let's upload it to, you know, wherever, Instagram and all that. And that is what you're aiming for in order to get great links pointing to your site. And now you could have a piece of content that has absolutely nothing to do with your target area of focus or your industry, your business. Could be Cute Puppy Monday and you're a plumber.
Russell,
that's okay. It's not ideal.
Yeah, right.
I would prefer that you are at least tangentially related to your topic with your viral content, but having it more remarkable is going to ensure, or at least increase the odds that you are going to get links. And links, that's the currency. If you don't have links, you're dead in the water. You're invisible.
And I'm really glad that I did say clickbait, because I know there's people in our audience who are thinking the same thing. And I really appreciate your explanation, because it makes a ton of sense.
Yeah. Okay. Let's take a quick break and we come back. We're good. Oh, there's so many questions. We'll be right back.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Ready to do a podcast for your business? Make that podcast elevate to enterprise level. Let WebmasterRadio.fm expedite and execute your podcast to build your brand and broaden your customer base. WebmasterRadio.fm has worked with the world's biggest tech brands, Google, Yahoo, and Bing, and have worked with fast-growing brands like ShipStation and GoDaddy. Now it's your turn. Contact BRASCO at WMR.fm and rush your enterprise-level podcast into production at a very reasonable rate. Email BRASCO at WMR.fm.
Are you looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session. Only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the Director of SEO for Advanced Local, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. We're joined today by Stefan Spencer, co-author of The Art of SEO, author of Google Power Search, founder of Net Concepts, and an awesome business coach. I will get it. Is it, it's French in me? I don't know what it is, but anyway, Canadians. So,
ooh la la.
Yes. So you mentioned Pearly White Hat, but I'm curious, what about link building? I know you mentioned about great content that attracts links, and ideally that's what everyone's doing. But these days, I know, obviously, because we're in the market and we talk to a lot of people, that link building in terms of outreach, all of that is still very, very prominent. What are your thoughts on that, or your feeling about it?
Yeah, it's important. It's important to be proactive. You can't just reactively sit back and think, well, I wonder who's going to link to me today, because who does that? Who wakes up and says, I got to figure out what plumber I'm going to write about on my blog today. I wonder if it'll be, you know, XYZ. And it just doesn't work that way. So if you were trying to get written up in a newspaper, you wouldn't just sit back and hope that journalists will come knocking on your door, you know, metaphorically speaking. You're going to pitch them. You're going to maybe hire a public relations professional who's going to make pitches and wine and dine these journalists and TV producers and so forth. If you don't do that, you can't expect any coverage. So no press for you, right? Like no soup for you. And if you are going to do this in a totally white hat way, it's, you're going to treat it like it's PR. You're not going to try and buy bloggers off and say, hey, I'll pay you $50, or, you know, I'll send you a bunch of free stuff if you cover my product. That just feels icky. And again, I wouldn't, if I were you, if you're doing that, want to share this with a Google engineer and just say, hey, I just got all these great links. And you know what? All I had to do was give $500 worth of my product away to all these guys and gals, and boom, I got 50 links. Isn't that amazing? Aren't you proud of me, Google engineer? Like, yeah, what was your URL again?
Exactly. Yes.
So what are you finding? So doing that kind of outreach is important. What tools do you use to do that?
I love Pitchbox, pitchbox.com. It's amazing. It is enterprise level. It's great for agencies. And it's just the only tool that I would consider using to do outreach on kind of en masse. And I'm not saying like spamming en masse. I mean like laser focused, but doing it in a way that is scalable and not copy, paste, send. Oh shoot, did I forget to change their name? Oh shoot, I just sent Barbara and called her John. Darn it. Can't unsend that. So you want to use a tool, and not just for mail merge kind of capabilities, but for tracking and just kind of pipeline management, workflow, all that sort of stuff. If you had a tool that could prospect for the bloggers and journalists based on keywords that you put in it, and you could feed it templates that it could base the email outreach on, but then you could combine different bits of data that you've collected and maybe even kind of hand finessed or had somebody do that part of it for you, what some outreach folks call backfilling. And on top of that, you could have it automatically do a follow-up with those folks who didn't respond and show you on pipeline reports who did respond, who's waiting for your response, who's out of office or, you know, gave an auto response reply, et cetera. That's pretty darn cool. And that's exactly what Pitchbox allows you to do. So you could say, all right, I want to follow up twice, and we'll follow up after, let's say 10 days, and then we'll follow up again another 7 days after that, and then we'll stop. You can set that up in Pitchbox.
And that's awesome. Absolutely awesome. I wonder though, for the small business owner or, you know, the 101 listener, how can they go about this kind of outreach without it being overwhelming? That sounds like a lot of work to someone.
It is a lot of work and it is overwhelming. And that's why you shouldn't do it yourself. Stay in your lane. Be focused on your core competency and don't try to be the jack of all trades. This is a specialized thing. I mean, how are you going to try and get your own, TV appearance? I mean, it's possible. Yeah. I took a workshop and learned how to do this. And I cold called TV producers in the middle of the night because they start work really early, like 3 a.m. And I had my pitch all ready. I had a PDF, one sheet pitch that was ready to go. My segment proposal. I figured out. I rehearsed it before, you know, a bunch of times so that I could just seamlessly just bang it out on a 2-minute phone call. Yeah, you can totally do all that, or you could just stick to your core competency and hire a PR firm to do that for you. So it's up to you, but I would use the tools of like the kind of premium tools of the job, like PitchBox and linkresearchtools.com for doing analysis, and Majestic and Ahrefs and all the great tools, SEMrush, et cetera.
Yeah.
That's a lot, right? So you're already talking about expensive tools and then having enough expertise and your 10,000 hours, as Malcolm Gladwell explained in the book Outliers, to be that expert so that you aren't looking like a total newbie when you are pitching these journalists and bloggers. Yeah, it's a commitment. Is this really what you want to try and build into your core competencies? Probably not. So just hire it out. And if you don't have the money for an agency or a kind of a high-end consultant, you know, like you could hire me, but I'm expensive. So you could just, I don't know, you could.
What do you hire Stepforth?
There's actually a good book. Actually, I'm listening to. I like to listen to books, but I do highly recommend anyone who wants to set this up in house. I mean, there's no question hiring out. It's going to be a lot easier, a lot less stress. But if you want this to be a core competency within your company, like someone in house doing this for you, there's a great book called Free PR: How to Get Chased by the Press Without Hiring a PR Firm. It's written by Cameron Harold and Adrian Salamanovic. I don't know how to say it. Anyway, it's excellent. Really great tips. And again, you know, you're having to learn this. It's nothing simple about it, but it is a fantastic way to start.
Yeah. And Cameron, he learned the ropes by growing 1-800-GOT-JUNK from, I think it was 60 million to like 400 million under his watch as the COO of the company. And he just crushed it with getting so much free PR for 1-800-GOT-JUNK. He did a lot of other system type upgrades in the organization in order to get to that level of revenue as well. But one of their secrets to success was all the free PR they got. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that'll be linked to from the show notes. So anyone wants to see that book, you can check it out.
But there are still free tools, though, because I have to keep going back to our audience. Those people that are either A, learning SEO or trying to improve their SEO, or small businesses trying to figure out how to do it themselves who don't have the budget, especially in this day and age where there's people are struggling to keep their business floating, let alone pay for consultants and services and tools. There are free things like Help a Reporter Out, Haro. What are some of the things people in that situation may be able to do to get a jump on some of this stuff, because they don't have the budget, they don't have the personnel, they're just trying to find ways to survive?
Yeah, I would say if you're willing to pick up the phone, do that, because hardly anybody does that. I don't know what it is, but they're kind of afraid to have their voice come through a telephone. And so they're resorting to just sending emails, and everybody else is sending emails. If you want to be the person who stands out as different, pick up the telephone and make a phone call to a journalist or to a blogger or to a TV station. Yeah, right? You could just make a call and say, hey, can I speak to the TV producer who books the guests? And then they either say, sure, one moment, or can I ask who's calling? Or they're not available, I'll put you to their voicemail, right? And then you put if you get put to their voicemail, don't leave a voicemail, because that's the only voicemail you get to leave. Nobody wants to get stalked. They're like, oh, that's the second voicemail this week from this guy. Jeez, won't he leave us alone? So you only get one chance to leave a voicemail. So don't even leave one. And you got the voice greeting. Hey, this is Betsy at the news desk. Please leave your message. Ah, okay. Now, next time when I call tomorrow, I'm just going to ask for Betsy. That'll make it sound like I'm, you know, more kind of already in the know, or pre-selected. So that's an easy way to just get past a gatekeeper and potentially pitch your idea for a news story. But again, if you want to do it well and you want to get a high hit rate, then you got to practice your pitch. Know it down cold so you're not stumbling over your words. Have a PDF that you've prepared, a one pager, and write an email beforehand. Put that attachment there ready to go with that email. And when they tell you, oh, send me an email, you can say, all right, what's your email address? Okay, I got it. I just sent it. Can you check your email real quick and see if you got my email? And can you see if the PDF opens okay? Like, who does that? Like, normally they try to get rid of you because, you know, most people will just give an email address and that's it. Like, sure, yeah, I'll send you an email or whatever. But if I have it ready to go and I send it right there and then, can you check to see if you got it? That already differentiates you and gives you another shot at kind of saving the opportunity. So then they open the PDF and they're like, wow. Oh, you've been on some TV stations before. Oh, you've got 3 books. Oh, or whatever your claim to fame is, right? Yeah, I'm the plumber to the stars. I've been plumbing in celebrities' homes for the last 20 years or whatever it is, right? So then they get to see that in the PDF right while they're on the phone with you. The likelihood of them opening a PDF when, you know, it's 6 hours later or whatever is a lot less. So, yeah, I just... It's these little nuances that make all the difference. And you're not going to get them all right at the beginning. But if you start with a book like Free PR, and I know Cameron is a big proponent of picking up the phone and not being part of the slush pile of all the emails that everybody sends. So
a lot of people are anxious. This is I can't even get my wife to call me. She only texts. No one likes phones anymore. I don't know what the hell's wrong with them. I like them.
Yeah. It's nice to hear. I know it's a little scary, but the fear of rejection isn't actually that scary once you kind of get acclimated to it. And you think, okay, what's the worst thing that could happen? They tell me no. Well, they're not going to say, I'm going to report you to the police, or don't you ever call this TV station ever again. No, they're just going to say, no, thanks. We're not interested, but thanks for calling. Okay. Or maybe the gatekeeper kind of shuts you down and say, you know what? We don't take unsolicited calls, but you know, you could send an email to our news desk. And you're like, okay, thank you. And then you call at 4 in the morning instead of 6. And then you miss the gatekeeper because the gatekeeper didn't come in yet. And you go, the person who picks up the phone is the TV producer. Like, yes.
Nice. Very nice. Those are great tips. Thank you very much. Well, let's take a quick break. We come back. I think it'd be interesting to talk about AI and how that might be working into people's future.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Here's the truth you need to know about podcasting. The biggest problem you face right now as a future podcaster is the myth that it takes an enormous amount of time or effort to produce a high-quality professional podcast. Luckily for you, there's a solution to your problem. If you're an online marketer who really needs to grow an audience of buyers but can't do all the heavy lifting alone, then here's the solution you're looking for. Introducing the DFY Podcasting System. Here's what you get. 30 minutes of one-on-one training. A weekly podcast for you or your company. Distribution to almost every podcast portal. An embeddable player for your website. An ebook called How to Podcast, created for WMR.FM show hosts. And much, much more. And best of all, you'll start seeing results with the DFY podcast system within a couple of weeks. You're just one podcast away from growing brand awareness and engagement in your business. Log on to podcast.WMR.FM and sign up for a deeply discounted rate today. That's podcast.WMR.FM.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. Top SEOs send you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let Top SEOs give you peace of mind. topseos.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session, only on webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the director of SEO for Advanced Local, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. We're joined by Stefan Spencer, co-author of The Art of SEO, author of Google Power Search, founder of Net Concepts, and business coach. And that's not even scratching it, man. You're busy, man. Okay, so you mentioned earlier on about future-proofing and how AI works into it. I know we have a lot of one-on-one listeners, but I also get a lot of very technical questions. So I think it'd be a interesting foray into that. Where do you think artificial intelligence works into SEO and or now and in the future?
Yeah, well, there is where would it not fit in? It'd be an easier question to answer. I think it fits in everywhere, because if you're trying to figure out which keywords to focus on, there are AI tools that can help you with that. If you're trying to optimize existing content and make it more kind of keyword rich, but not spammy, right? Mm-hmm. It's not number of occurrences of the keyword, but making it cover more related topics, what some SEOs refer to as LSI keywords, working those into an existing article, or starting an article from scratch. You know, there's an AI that will write an article from scratch for you, and a lot of times people won't be able to tell it was written by an AI. This technology is called GPT-3. It's from OpenAI, and there are companies that are using it to create all kinds of content, to solve all kinds of problems, to lots of different kinds of use cases, everything from image labeling to manufacturing related tasks and so forth. It's a very versatile algorithm or technology. And yeah, it's in private beta right now, but it's only a matter of time before it becomes public for everybody and you just pay for it. And you could tell it to, for example, write me a poem in the style of Dr. Seuss about Elon Musk and how he has SpaceX and builds rockets, and Tesla that builds electric cars, and and just giving it a few sentence explanation of what it should do, it can create that poem for you. And that's exactly what it did when somebody gave that instruction to GPT-3. If you Google for Elon Musk GPT-3 poem or AI poem, it'll show up at the top there. And it's just amazing. When you read the content of this this poem, think, what, an AI wrote this? It's wild. Like for example, one of my favorite stanzas from that poem is let's see. Mars. Okay. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll send my Mars rovers to red planet you. That's amazing. Like it's a little mean, but makes me a little anxious about what is in store for us when the AIs are finally outsmarting us. But mm-hmm. It's pretty darn creative, and it's available now. Why wouldn't you incorporate at least some sort of R&D or test projects into what you're doing? I remember attending Abundance 360 and hearing Peter Diamandis say that there are going to be two kinds of businesses at the end of this decade. So Peter Diamandis is the founder of Abundance 360, also the founder of the XPRIZE that gave $10 million to the first team that developed a spaceship that could take passengers and come back to Earth safely and then do another round trip within like 2 weeks later. $10 million prize. So he said at Abundance 360, there are going to be two kinds of businesses that will be in business at the end of this decade. Businesses that use AI at their core and businesses that are out of business. And so if you are, let's say, a financial planner or an accountant or a lawyer or a consultant, a business coach, a life coach, whatever, and you aren't using AI, you will be out of business in a decade. I mean, probably sooner. You need to start playing with this stuff now, because there's only one way to outsmart an AI. Do you happen to know what that is?
Get a better AI.
Exactly. But you don't show up at a gunfight with a sword.
No.
You're not going to outsmart an AI unless you have an AI to help you.
Did any are there any products? You mentioned a few concepts for products that are, but do any come to mind that are available already, like keyword tools for AI and such?
Yeah, Market Muse. They use a lot of AI. So that's
Market Muse. M-U-S-E?
Market Muse. Yeah. Yep. It's not inexpensive, but yeah, it's definitely a great tool. And yeah, I think most of the big enterprise tools are incorporating some AI components in them.
It doesn't take a small amount of infrastructure, so I imagine it would be mostly enterprise right now.
Well, you know, if you were trying to figure out how to incorporate some AI into a WordPress plugin and only charge $100 a month for it, you'd probably sign up for that private beta of GPT-3 and figure out a use case where you could give some keyword recommendations or some copy optimization recommendations based on the AI, but not something super significant and kind of over the top, but something more scaled down, and treat that like it's a prototype or an initial kind of first minimum viable product. And there's probably tools out there that are doing just that thing.
Yeah. Does InLinks use that? I wonder. Maybe not.
I don't know if they have an AI.
Love that tool though. Anyone who hasn't heard about it, check out InLinks. Is it .net? Let me just check that.
It is .net.
Yeah. Great stuff there. Yep. Well, that's great. Is there anything that you would like to add? Like, I know there's so much going on. We're all pretty overwhelmed these days, which is good. Business is strong and there's lots to learn. But is there anything in particular that stands out that you'd like to share with the crowd?
Well, you know, the thing that I found that makes the biggest difference for me and my business and for my clients are just going back to the fundamentals. It's not even just the figuring out the right strategies, because you know the book The Art of War, my favorite quote from that book is, "Tactics without strategy is the noise before defeat." Great quote. But it's not just about the strategy. It's about your mindset, and it's about having a powerful intention for what you're going to do. And then it's like the universe rewards you for that. So if you want to have a bigger business and a more successful business, meditate. Like, actually meditate or pray or have what... the guy who wrote The Road Less Stupid, Keith Cunningham, that's who it is.
He talked recently.
he's awesome. He talks about having a thinking chair that you sit in, and that's the only time you sit in it is when you're thinking, and no laptops or devices allowed. It's just pen and paper or notebook and pen, and you just think.
And avoid the stupid tax.
yeah so these sorts of things can make such a profound impact on your business and your life. It's so simple, like just meditate or pray or be intentional. Like I have the intention before I do anything, whether it's a podcast interview or a prospect call or a client deliverable meeting or whatever, is how am I going to reveal light? How am I going to add value, or at least just have that intention? I'm going to reveal light, or I'm going to add value, or I'm going to make a difference for these people in this interview or on this client call or prospect call. Makes a difference. It really does.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can say from personal experience working with you that it you definitely have that intention when you were helping me with coaching and it's definitely made a difference in my business. I'm more focused. I've got a greater sense of what I need to do, what I want. It works. It definitely works.
That's awesome to hear.
Thank you. I definitely appreciate it. Thank you. And I should note that Stefan has two great podcasts, Marketing Speak and Get Yourself Optimized, both of which I listen to. Excellent, excellent interviews and thoughts. And I always take something away from them. So definitely check those out. I'm just so pleased we could have you on today. Thank you, Stefan.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me. And thank you for all the good stuff you do in the world and, you know, all the light you reveal, both of you guys.
Hey, John tries.
A little stab there.
He's not even there. Well, on behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, John Carcutt, Director of SEO for Advanced Local, and our special guest, Stefan Spencer, co-author of The Art of SEO, author of Google Power Search, founder of Net Concepts and business, and a fantastic business coach, I'll say again. Thanks for joining us today. Remember, we have a show notes newsletter you can sign up for at SEO101radio.com. And if you have any questions you'd like to share with us, please feel free to post them on our Facebook group, easily found by searching SEO 101 Podcast on Facebook. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which are at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, every Monday on webmasterradio.fm. And make sure to tune into the next episode. We're going to have John Mueller on the show for our 400th episode.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.